From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the May 17 edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And as we close out our program today, we'll discuss the weather forecast for the weekend and next week with Illinois State climatologist, member of the Illinois State Water Survey, and the Prairie Research Institute, Jim Angel. And along the way today, we'll hear from Gary Schnitke. He has some concerning news about the financial path that some corn farms could be on as we make our way through the 2013, 14, 15, and 16 years. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. From the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, in Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat, that's the July. It also happens to be the harvest month, down 4.5 cents. Settlement price there at $6.83 and a quarter. The hard red in Kansas City at $7.37 and a quarter was down 6.25 cents. From Chicago, the corn pit now nearby July future, $6.52 and three quarters, finished 11.25 cents higher. September at $5.56, up 2.25. December, on the other hand, a loss today, down 4.5 cents at $5.19 and a half, at the March at $5.30, down 4.25. May corn at $5.37 and a half, down 4.25. And July contract of next year at $5.44 and a half, down 4.25 cents. July soybeans at $14.48 and a half, up 21. August at $13.78 and a half, up 24 and a half. And September, $12.89 and a half, 18 cents higher. November beans $12.28 and a quarter, up 10 and three quarters. January futures $12.35 and a quarter, up 10 and a half. And the March contract, $12.39 and a half, up 9 3/4 for the day. May futures of next year at $12.41 and a quarter, up 9 1/2 cents. Bean meal futures at $4.25.10, that's up $10.20. And the bean oil at $49.52 finished unchanged. Live cattle futures in the August contract at $118.55 per 100 pounds, $1.17 and a half lower for the day. The August feeders at $143.37 and a half were down $1.72, or rather down $1.75. And the July lean hogs today, down $1.57 and a half at $90.97 and a half. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon, nearby June contract at $96, rather July at 32 cents. That's 87 cents higher. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.90 and 2/10 of a cent, a penny and 9/10 higher. Ethanol trading at $2.67 and a tenth, 4 3/10 higher. And the RBOB gasoline, the spread between those two at 23 1/10 of a cent, now 2 3/10 of a cent narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.05 and a half, 12 3/10 of a cent higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.93 and 3/10, that's up 2 1/2 cents. And gold futures on the afternoon at $1,364.70 an ounce, down $22.20. The U.S. dollar trading 84.25, that's up 0.66 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. They're calling for showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies, and a high of 81 degrees for the afternoon on a southeast wind at 11 miles an hour. Gusting all the way to 15, chance of precipitation in the area set at 60%. Tonight, a 20% chance of rainfall before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 62. And then tomorrow, that 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms continue. Otherwise, partly sunny, a high of 82 tomorrow on a southeast wind at 5 to 7 miles an hour. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 63. Sunday, it'll be sunny and 88 degrees. Sunday night, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy and 67 degrees. And on Monday, as we start the work week, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and a high near 84. Monday night, showers and thunderstorms, 66 degrees. Tuesday, more rainfall and 79. More complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. We always talk with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, on this 17th day of May. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. Happy Friday, buddy.
Hey, thank you so much. Good afternoon and happy Friday to you as well. Can you look back over the week for me? Tell me what happened.
I think most of the week was probably dominated after the crop progress numbers came out and after we saw that Iowa was running 64% behind normal and the Illinois was running behind 47% and Minnesota 50%. Once we got that priced in early in the week, I think the wheat technicals breaking, the corn weather opening up, and the dollar pushing to three-year highs really dominated the trade from midweek up until this morning. And with that came the idea, and why the wheat was the weakest suit out there, was that it didn't have the demand underneath it that the trade wanted. In a big-picture mindset, Todd, the weekly export sales were actually better than trade guesses, and they were 52% above the four-week average. But with the dollar rallying so sharply, and South Korea and other countries noticeably buying corn and wheat from other countries, and the fact that the hard red wheat belt was expected to get some more rains next week, it seemed as though we were back in the pre-March report type mindset where the trade couldn't buy a demand rally in the wheat, even if good news came out for it. And I think I lay that at the feet of the dollar and the outside markets. Now, today, that noticeably changed. We saw the supply side holding pattern that had been kind of gripping the trade and the demand-led market that had been kind of making the beans look differently than the feed grains. That all changed with the spreads, and we saw the corn spread, July D's closed at 133.25 above the March stocks report level. More importantly, the July NOV bean spread, 220.25, new contract high, takes us higher than even where we were last summer in the midst of drought. And that all comes, I think, back, or most of it comes back to the meal market. The meal market just simply stood up. The cash meal in Raleigh, North Carolina is $500 a ton. That's $70 a ton over the July. And I think that's really what spurred this market today and gave it a completely different look from the previous 3 days of trade.
So which contract for the meal are you looking at?
The July.
You're looking at July. Okay. So this is in the soybeans, then, a rally based on short supplies now and potentially later as well, or not?
Yeah, I think now, you know, kind of like what we talked about last week, I think we're kind of in the red zone now that May futures have expired, and we're going to be getting South American supplies that will become more and more and more competitive as prices go higher here in the cash market. And it works, cash market works into southeastern United States right now from South America. It's still a little bit tough based upon some of the numbers I've crunched and some of the cash people I've talked to bring it into the Gulf and then go up the rivers. But, you know, you take beans up another 30 to 50 cents on a $15 to $20 meal run next week, say, if that would happen, then that starts to make even the Gulf importing cash flow a little bit more. So I think there is a level where you're going to run into some problems, and I think the same with corn, because we're starting to hear, once again, ethanol plants not taking bids this week, like a Poet plant in Alexandria, Indiana, still running, but stop taking bids this week, so they're going to open back up next week. So this is where you're really tight supplies, helping the new crop out right now. You're probably on the long end of that at this stage, and so I'm wanting to get some more, probably the rest of my 10% of the old crop that I still have left in both corn and beans. If we have another move back up next week, probably want to dump the rest of that out.
How much higher on each one of them would you like to start making those sales?
You know, I talked to a client down by Mount Vernon today, and he was running right around 1535 in cash beans. I would say, like I've said most of this past year, you get above 1550 and you start to move towards $16 in cash beans. That's probably going to create some real friction from the demand side, and also, like I said, get some imports in here maybe a little faster from South America. One of the contacts in Chicago told me today that Brazil is moving corn on the water a lot faster than we had thought, that it was more likely that, and it's still pretty likely they're going to have most of their supplies available by July, but they're already starting to try and get some on the water here in mid-May. So I would say, you know, you get another 50 cents higher in the cash contract for the beans, and it's going to be tough to get much higher than that, and I feel comfortable selling there probably half that in the corn. You get a 25-cent rally in the corn, you're back to that $7 level and crashing through that, and as you get above $7, I think that gets tough for the demand side again.
Not on the corn, there will be many, even on the beans, that cannot believe that the United States would import either of those. But let's take corn up in particular. Earlier in the week, I was in Washington, D.C., as most know, and probably some heard a little piece that I sent back with a soybean farmer and a corn farmer from Mississippi's in Canton, and talking about the availability of supplies, new crop corn, in his area. For Mississippi, about 75% of the intended acres he thinks was planted, they're all 3 weeks late. And he thinks that there may very well be a need to import corn into New Orleans.
And I think that's right. I think this is where you're like 2004, where one of the clients I was talking to today had recollected that he thought he remembered that we did see some imports of corn, meal come up the river in 2004 because of the tight bean supplies. And I think you're probably close to that same situation in the corn at this stage of the game. We also heard this week that Mexico and the United States might be making a deal with sugar, where we bring sugar in from Mexico, we blend it and make it into ethanol and ship it right back down to them. I think what I would say to those people that don't necessarily believe in the importation of corn and beans and meal this year, if you don't believe that, at least acknowledge that you're dealing with a three-year high in the dollar index, and countries like South Korea and Japan and other Asian countries that have lost buying power are now sitting in a situation where they're kind of going anywhere but here to get products. South Korea noticeably buying South African corn, noticeably buying feed wheat. I heard numbers of 650,000 tons that South Korea's bought in the last 10 days, and none of that's come from us. So the dollar is impacting our actual export trade. I think that's fair to say. And by the same token, it's impacting negatively our speculative trade, because the weaker Japanese yen has got the market in a mindset that the deflation is under more prominence, and therefore we don't want to be in commodities. I thought a really neat statistic that happened this week was I think it was Reuters put out that the revenue of the top 10 banks, investment banks, for the first quarter, their revenue fell 54% for the first three months of 2013. Part of that regulation, but also part of that leading back to the idea that the commodity super cycle is over with, that relates back to this stronger dollar trade too. So if you don't think the imports are coming, well, at least look at the other factors out there that probably are going to limit our demand side.
That would hold the cap on old crop prices. New crop prices, on the other hand, are kind of a different story. Can you talk just a bit about what you're hearing from producers as you talk to them across the nation as to whether they've been in the field and how much corn planting they've been able to do over the last 5 days?
Many of them, and then this is kind of interesting you say this, because I was joking with them by the end of this week, many of them have not had more than 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night for the last 4 nights that I've spoken with. So to give you an idea of the breakneck pace that has opened up here, because the central corn belt and the eastern corn belt didn't get the rains that were on the models last Friday, they have really been going hard if they can. And so I think you will see a substantial increase in planting progress. Those producers are telling me it's going in very, very well for the most part. As you get below 36, though, in Illinois, you start to run into real problems, and guys that are going are essentially mudding it in based upon what I've heard from clients that I work with. So you do have a certain level south that is not getting much done. The big number on Monday to me will be, where's Minnesota, where's Iowa, and to a lesser degree, where South Dakota? Because I assume Illinois is going to make a lot of progress on Monday's numbers, but Iowa being 60% behind the five-year average, that screams out to me that's your national yield. So these are the Minnesota-Iowa numbers, I think, are going to be extremely important to the trade. They're going to be extremely important to me as well.
Thank you so much for taking the time with
us. You betcha, sir. Have a good weekend.
That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be here in just a moment to take a look at the agricultural news.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
In agricultural news, the Renewable Fuels Association and Growth Energy have filed a complaint with the General Court in Luxembourg challenging the European Commission's recent decision to impose a 9.6% anti-dumping duty on all ethanol imported from the United States. The General Court is the trial court of the European Court of Justice that has jurisdiction over trade disputes within the 27-member European Union. The complaint outlines 10 specific violations, including errors in the assessment of relevant facts in determining injury and dumping margins, as well as violations of the EU's own rules regarding the implementation of anti-dumping penalties. The complaint requests the complete and total end of the duty. Investigators say they have completed site examination of April's explosion of a fertilizer storage facility in West Texas that killed 15 people and injured 200. Possible causes of the fire that triggered the explosions have been narrowed to a 120-volt electrical system at the plant, a golf cart, or an intentionally set fire. State fire marshals say that investigators estimated that between 28 and 34 tons of ammonium nitrate on the site exploded. The chemical was stored in wooden bins and was the equivalent of 15,000 to 20,000 pounds of dynamite. The Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago says farmland values in the heart of the U.S. Corn Belt continued to rise in the first quarter from the previous quarter, but at a somewhat slower pace. Agricultural land values increased 4% in the first quarter in the Chicago Feds District, which includes Iowa and parts of Illinois and Indiana. That was slower than the 7% quarter-to-quarter increase during the last 3 months of 2012. The Chicago Fed says its quarterly survey found 19% of bankers expect farmland values to increase in the second quarter from the first quarter, while 4% expect a decline. The vast majority expect values to be stable or roughly unchanged from the January-March quarter. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Our guest this week on that program, recorded this afternoon at 4:30 Central Time, USA, will be Dr. Michael Cordonnier. Our panelists in studio, Pete Manhart, Bill Mayer, along with Jackie Vick. Should be a great show. You can always find it online at willag.org. That's willag.org. We'll post it there by about 6 o'clock Central Time this evening. Up next, you know, much has been made about the differences between the last 5 years in the agricultural economy and the similarities to the 1970s. It's also pretty clear farmers are in much better shape financially now than they were then. Still, there are some financial concerns for the path forward, and it relates to the debt-to-asset ratio and, more importantly, net income on the farm. The debt-to-asset ratios on Illinois grain farms is in very good shape, or at least it has been reported to be that way over the last several years. Still, there are some interesting little twists in the financial health stat. Gary Schnitke has been exploring them. He's an ag economist at the University of Illinois.
You know, as we've looked at the debt-to-asset ratios decline, that at the same time, both debt and assets have increased. Total debt has increased from $365 per acre in 2005 up to $500 per acre in 2011. But to get that declining debt-to-asset ratio, we've had assets increase faster than debt. And where we've seen those increases are in farmland, machinery values, and crop inventory values. Those three have contributed to higher assets over that time period.
It sounds good. It is, in fact, good, but there are concerning paths forward.
One of the concerns that you would always have is if we have a farmland price decline, that would cause assets to go down and debt-to-asset ratios to go up, but that's always a concern. The thing I would say is that if we ever have a return to lower prices, or when we have a return to lower prices, the ability to shut down cash flows such as capital purchases and reduce family living will be critical in making sure these farms can withstand financial stress.
The question here then is, what does Gary Schnitke think is a low price for corn in the grain belt?
I would say that over the next 5-6 years, farms should be expect to average 450 corn, 450 to 470. So what we've seen over the past several years have been higher than average corn prices. And if I were a farmer, I'd plan to be able to withstand at least 1, maybe 2 years of 350 corn. So those are possibilities within the next 5 to 10 years.
350 corn. Let's put that in a different form. Gary Schnitke says farmers should be prepared to live on half of what they've been earning over the last 4 years.
Yeah, if you look at incomes from 2008 on, if we go back to 450 corn or 450 corn, 2009 on 450 corn, we would have incomes on Illinois grain farms. If we get down to 350, it would be, you know, much, 2/3 of what we've been looking at here recently.
450 corn will have the net income, the salary of most farmers. That might be pretty hard to get used to after living on twice that much over the past 4 years. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report for Friday afternoon. We'll be back in just 2 minutes and take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, will join us.
It's National Cherry Cobbler Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1733, England passed the Molasses Act, putting high tariffs on rum and molasses imported to the colonies from any place other than Britain and its possessions. In 1803, John Hawkins and Richard French patented a reaping machine. In 1886, John Deere died, an American inventor and manufacturer. He developed the first steel plow in the 1830s and founded John Deere & Company in 1868. As a blacksmith in a U.S. prairie town, he frequently repaired the wood and cast iron plows of Eastern U.S. design because the local soils were heavy and sticky. By 1838, he had produced steel plows of his own design. Deere realized that a plow with a highly polished surface could clean or scour itself as it moved through the field. In 1848, John Deere moved his operation to Moline, Illinois, to lower his costs by taking advantage of better transportation and water power provided by the Mississippi River. Within a few years, production had reached 1,600 plows a year, and Deere was getting his own special steel rolled to his specifications from mills in Pittsburgh. In 1897, Alvin Stackman was born. An American plant pathologist and educator, he established methods for identifying and combating diseases of wheat and other food crops. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Joining us by phone to take a look at the weather forecast from the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, is Jim Angel. Jim, thank you for taking the time. Tell me about the rainfall in the area this afternoon, if there is any.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd. Yes, it's there have been some scattered showers and thunderstorms in the general area. I think right now there's a band to the north of us between Champaign and Chicago. But it's forecast for today is thunderstorms likely and on into tonight, about a 60% chance. It starts to look a little better over the weekend. Both Saturday and Sunday are pretty much rain-free but very warm. We're going to be up in the 80s. It's going to feel more like summertime as we move forward there. But then the rain returns on Sunday night and Monday and Tuesday. And I think it's going to be a little more widespread at that point. And it might get kind of interesting by Monday or Tuesday because there's even a risk of even severe weather. So we're going to really go into some interesting weather in the next couple of days, I think. But for at least for the meantime, if we can dodge the showers that we've got right now, it should be some good field working days for Saturday and Sunday.
You sound as if Monday, Tuesday, early part of next week are a pretty sure thing at this time.
Yeah, that's right. Based on what we see right now, it's the odds are running the 30 to 50 to even 60% chance on most of those days. And in the areas that are going to get it are probably going to see some pretty sizable amounts, at least the potential is quite high during that time period because of all the moisture in the atmosphere. So, we'll see how it plays out, but I think right now it looks like it's going to be pretty wet early in the week.
We've had some pretty high temperatures, speaking of those, in the last few days, and looks like we'll have some more in the coming week, too.
That's right. It'll be warm, like I said, over this weekend. We'll be up in the 80s. Not quite as hot as we go into next week. It'll be low 80s and upper 70s. Yeah, but we'll have probably a fair amount of cloud cover throughout that period, too. So we won't have too many sunny days, except for maybe Sunday might be our sunniest of the days. But, yes, it'll be more summer-like weather than what we've had.
It was a pretty quick change from what we might consider early spring weather to just summer weather. There wasn't much
right.
of a transition,
yeah, we just
right?
leaped right over spring there, I think.
Indeed. Last week was pretty close to normal, though, wasn't it?
It was. We were close to normal on temperatures, maybe a little cooler than normal in southern Illinois because they did get some rain down there. And it was actually fairly quiet in terms of rainfall. There's a few areas that got a little bit of rain, but for the most part, it was pretty light rainfall, less than a tenth of an inch in many places. So very quiet in that regard.
And as you look at these temperatures, are they how far above normal that are coming up this week and next?
Well, the ones over this weekend are going to be well above normal. I think probably average for this time of year right now, we're still in the upper 70s for that, and we're looking at upper 80s on Sunday. So get into next week, it'll be maybe a little closer to the long-term average for that time period. But, yeah, it's the warm weather has finally arrived.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website or listen to us on the radio for Commodity Week. Our guest this week, Michael Cordonnier. I'm Todd Gleason. Be safe in the field.
This Stock and Commodity Report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.